Welcome to the Waffle Shop podcast with me, Taylor James. This is the podcast that gets people waffling about their mental health, coping mechanisms, life's minor inconveniences, and the music that soundtracks it all. So join me as I open up shop and have a waffle.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with Plush Care. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Welcome to another episode of the Waffle Shop podcast. Today, I'm joined by someone who I've wanted to waffle with for quite some time now. It's singer, songwriter, podcaster and winner of BBC's Project Icon, Dylan in the Mood.
Thanks for having me, man. I've been looking forward to waffling with you as well.
Probably about 2 years in the making.
Yeah, this waffle has been a long time coming, guys.
It's expired. No, it hasn't. I don't know why I said that. It's out of date. That's what I was supposed to say.
Yeah, but that doesn't sound tasty. This is going to be a hot, tasty waffle.
They're the best kind. Mm. No, it is. Genuinely, I really appreciate it because we were catching up before we hit the record button, how life gets in the way. So I really appreciate your patience with this. It genuinely means a lot. And I think there's a lot that I'm going to learn today, which I'm quite excited about.
Great. I mean, I'm looking forward to it. And yeah, patience, one of the many things human beings need, isn't it? Patience, kindness, patience makes the world go round, I think.
Gold already. It was worth it just for that.
Right, the podcast over.
Well, thank you for joining me. I got what I came for. To be fair, we're laughing and joking, but I do start each one of my shows with something quite negative, okay. Which is something called the Weekly Waffle, which quite frankly is something that got on my nerves. But then once I've spoken to my guest about it, it makes me feel better. So obviously feel free to get involved. Mm-hmm. However, what has been winding me up, and to be fair, it's kind of my own fault with this one, but what really winds me up lately is conspiracy theories.
Oh.
Specifically, conspiracy theories on TikTok.
Right. You mean people spreading fake information or?
It's a mixture. It's fake information and it's the follow for part 7. I'm on 7 videos, deep into this now. Just put it all in one video. I understand it from a marketing point of view, but it drives me insane.
Yes, that's because you know you're being marketed too, but it's still working. I can't stop this. Yeah,
I need to know how the pyramids got here.
Right, and how do you care to share? Because I don't want to listen to 7 episodes. If you can tell me.
Well, I've always wanted to do a conspiracy theory or a true crime podcast, but no, I think it's aliens.
Oh, they brought.
That's just a personal opinion, but I just don't get it. I just don't understand how they're so perfectly crafted. I mean, I'm not discrediting people's hard work, obviously, but it's just very specific, and I don't know.
Yeah, it must have been quite hard work. I often think it probably wasn't the same aliens that built Stonehenge, because that's not quite as articulate in its its build, no. is it? I mean, it's, also, it's heavy. It me... it's just, it's not quite as pretty.
Not at all. But it just kind of shows how lazy British people are. If yeah, that's
those British aliens couldn't be bothered.
Nah, just, we'll just throw a few bricks down. Yeah. And get them to like praise it, see what happens. But no, it does bother me. So yeah, I feel a little bit better. I'm still very angry about it. But
yes, the rant. What have I got? I tell you what is a pet peeve of mine, but it's actually, it shouldn't really be because it's not fair, is I am such like a fast paced guy and I'm really quick in the way I talk and sort of like move around the world and I've got lots of things to like enjoy doing that I find when I talk to people who talk slowly or who have a lot of nothing to say and I'm like, you could have said that in one sentence, but yeah, I'm still here 10 minutes later listening to this thing or like, yeah, just I'm like, I really struggle with things that are too slow.
It's the real life version of the TikTok videos. That's what that is.
Yes, it is. Yes. Maybe what we're saying is that we're now both products of this really hyper-fast generation who need it instantaneously. We can't wait anymore. We don't want to wait.
Oh, no.
I hate that for us.
Yeah, no, I do as well. That's made me feel really sad.
Oh, no. Oh, dear.
Oh, what a way to start. So we're all fired up and now
I'm
just...
You'll have to bring us back up now.
Oh, what a roller coaster. I really want to talk to you about your journey, if that's okay, because it genuinely really fascinates me because I'm a bit of a music nerd and I love lyrics, I love voices. The reason why you fascinate me so much, obviously, because you've been through quite the journey from like a body perspective, like you've transitioned obviously from a female to a male. And what really fascinates me is the whole voice aspect of this. Which, to be fair, I've probably jumped miles ahead for where I've actually wanted to go to there. See, I was getting to the point then, not to annoy you. sorry about that.
That's good.
But yeah, no, I'd quite like to talk to you about your journey and, you know, how that transition journey started for you, if that's okay. Obviously, feel free to share what you want to.
Well, absolutely. So for any like your listeners who don't know, my name is Dylan and the Moon, and that's, you know, my music name. And I've been making music as Dylan and the Moon for the past 2.5 years. But before that, I was releasing music under my old name, Lots Holloway. And before that, I was in a band. And on all of these occasions, you know, I was still living my human experience in the female body. But I always knew deep down that I was trans. I just didn't have the vocabulary for that as a kid. There's actually like a video of me on my 4th or 5th birthday. I get given a card from my sister and I open it, and on video camera I sort of open it up and it says, to my youngest sister, and I look dead down the camera and I say, but I'm your youngest brother. And like, it was so simple to me. It was so obvious to me that like, what's everyone talking about? I'm just your brother. And so I knew from a really young age that I was like a guy, but then my body didn't match up to that. However, you know, then when you get a bit older and you realize that not another person on the earth has ever said that in my small town in Cornwall, I was like, oh shit. Oh, I'm like a freak and I can't say things like that. So it took me a long time. You know, I then got into music and moved up to London. And eventually I became more in contact with like the LGBT community and I understood what it meant to be trans. And I was like, right, I think that's me, but I'm kind of scared of that because, you know, it often gets like a really bad rap and like it's sort of poorly spoken about within the media and stuff. So I don't know, long story short, it was a big deal for me to sort of go through my transition because although I wanted every single aspect of looking and sounding and being a man in my day-to-day life, because that's who I am, the scariest thing for me was risking changing my voice because I had built a career and a fan base and I was earning money and paying my rent and building a business in music based on this voice that I had. And I thought, you know, the reason I got into music in the first place was because I thought I was like a bit of a freak and if I did something cool people might like me, and that's kind of like a sad thing to look back and reflect on, but I was like, I'm gonna need some reason for people to like me, otherwise I'm just gonna be a really really massive weirdo, which is sad to think about now because it's not true, and it's not true for anyone else out there who's living that experience. Like it's just you are who you are. But I got into music for like one of those reasons. So then to risk losing the voice and that one thing that was my safety and security was really scary for me. So that's why, you know,
it's huge, man. Well, one thing that I absolutely like love about you and your music is that you're fully just champion people to embrace Like you said it then, like it sounded like a little bit negative, but we all have like our weird little things. Like there have been moments where you know, this is a little bit of a freak thing to do, but it's those little things that actually make us exactly who we are. And every song that I listen to of yours, and even just having this conversation now, like it's like I get a real sense of like you're just championing others to embrace those little things that we might think weird. Because like you said, until you kind of moved to London, you found a whole community that were doing exactly what you were doing.
And I think like I appreciate you saying that you can sort of hear it in my music and hear it in the conversation, because what I want to do more than anything for people is, you know, anyone who listens to me on a podcast or comes to my shows or listens to the tunes, what I really want is to move people in the direction of being themselves more so, as someone who's lived a long time as someone who they weren't, and I wasn't being authentic to myself. I know how painful it is, and I know on the other side the joy and the freedom you can have in being yourself. So I want to move people in that direction. And I have started getting into more things where I can do that, because music is great, but music is sort of, it has its pockets. So, you know, I make indie pop music, but not everyone likes indie pop music. So what I've done is sort of now sort of extended this conversation into podcasts and into interviews and TV. And also, like, I've started public speaking. So I'm not going into like business events, but talking about authenticity and then telling my journey. And it's just about, I really do feel like I want more people to experience the uniqueness of being you. Like, there's a quote I always use in my public speaking. It's actually Dr. Seuss, which is, makes me laugh because he's like up there with the best philosophers. But it's, today you are you, that's truer than true, and there's no one on earth that's you than you. And it's like, sometimes you have to realize that it is that weird thing about you that makes you so special.
But it's also so simple as well. So simple.
Almost too simple, isn't it? Like, it's almost like conningly simple, because people think, well, I can't just go out and be me, because what people are expecting this and this, and I have to do this, and I have to put myself forward like this so I get more. And it's just actually like, the less you do, the better.
100%. Less is more. I'd like to dive back a little bit again in terms of like the journey, because you've kind of touched upon it in a way that almost feeling like a little bit lost, like whether it was in your body or just not feeling like this isn't who I'm supposed to be. We talk about like mental health a lot on the show, and it was actually born out of a very traumatic, painful experience for myself. When you were going through that, was there a turning point to be like, something needs to change, like this isn't who I'm supposed to be, and that kind of sparked, you're like, okay, I'm doing this now.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely, absolutely. I got to a very low place in my life, and it became a case of, I actually can't go on living life like this. So there's either a way that I need to like escape life and living, or I need to change my life so dramatically that I am living the life I'm supposed to. And it was something that I, like I've already explained, like I knew as a kid, and then it was like, well, maybe I'm just not trying hard enough to be a girl. Like I'm not putting in the effort to put on a dress or wear makeup and stuff. So like there was a very short stint of time in, like, I was like 16 and to 17 where I just tried really hard to be girly, and I allowed my girl mates to like put me in a dress to go to their birthdays, and it was awful. I hated it, and I felt so uncomfortable. Anyway, so skip forward, like I went back to wearing my normal sort of laddish clothes, but then was sort of thinking, I'm just going to make up this new caricature, which is bit boyish, bit girly, and just go on. And I ended up on a different TV show, and I was basically on this autopilot, because I was like, I'm not safe to be who I really am, so whatever the world wants me to be, I'll just go and be that. And I spent so much time doing that, and for all intents and purposes, I think people saw me as being like very successful, very happy, very accomplished, but really I was like broke and upset and sad and alone. And I remember just lying in bed on one night, I must have been around like 24 25, I was just bawling my eyes out because I was drinking loads to try and deal with it. I didn't even know what I was trying to deal with because I'd suppressed it so much. And then I had this thought of like, one day I am gonna die at some point, and it's going to be so sad if no one actually knew who I was. Like, and I was just this other person, like people grieving the loss of this person that was just a made up character, not the real me. And it was that thought, like that intrusive thought of like, I actually can't now, knowing that fact, I can't live another day without just trying to be more like myself. So it was, a difficult time, but music was a big... Thanks, mate.
So much. And there's obviously, I haven't been through what you've been through, but there's certain parts of what you've just said that it was the intrusive thought for me that actually spurred the birth of this podcast.
It
spurred that kind of like change of direction for me, because it got to a point where I didn't want to remove myself completely. I just didn't want to continue living the way I was living, because like you said, it wasn't who I was supposed to be. And then it's mornings like this, I'm having a conversation with someone that has lived a very, very different path to me, but there's so many similarities. God, I was on such a roll then.
I loved it. No,
it's that fire. Like, it's these kind of conversations that you don't know other people out there exist who have been through what you've been through until you have the conversation.
Yeah, I mean, things like this are so important, because people often feel alone. Like, I meet so many people that I recently did a talk about being, you know, how to be more yourself. And I was in a room full of, like, I don't know, people who are probably between the ages of 40 and 60, and they were like business entrepreneurs or business owners. And I gave this talk, and most of the other people talking were giving business speeches, and I delivered this one. And the sheer amount of people that I spoke to afterwards who had the same story with a different narrative, like the different dressing, like someone who was like, I've been in a relationship that I haven't wanted to be in for 10 years, but I'm still in it. And then someone that's, but I've been working this same job and it's not for me. Or like, I learned how to be a lawyer because that's what my dad wanted, but I've always wanted to do this. And it's just, it's something that happens so often in our society that we're all just doing something, and we don't really ever question why. Like, why are we doing this when there's probably a different version of our lives that can make us happier? And I think that's another like point that I got to in my life. Like, the life that I'd created, I wasn't sad about the life I created, because for all intents and purposes, it looked great. I was just sad about the life I hadn't created, because that deserved to be lived. You know?
I love that. Honestly, I don't know if you can see this, but I've got goosebumps.
Oh, mate.
Honestly.
There's something about these conversations that I really appreciate people like you bringing them to the forefront, because I feel like it will help so many people.
Well, this is the thing. Like, I went down so many routes. Like, obviously, I'm not going to discredit the NHS or anything like that, but like, when it came to the mental health side of things, it was very generic conversations, like very generic advice. Whereas it wasn't until I started talking to people like yourself, I'm like, oh, well, you get it. Like, you get what I'm trying to say. And it's these kind of conversations that I've built up like a toolkit to like help me on the days when I do really struggle, because I'm like, it's that fear of like being alone.
Yeah.
And this whole experience has taught me that I'm not on my own, because you know, there's so many people going through what they're going through. I do want to talk about fear though, because obviously you said like, you know, you've delivered these like incredibly powerful talks now, and like even like throughout your own journey and I imagine it's going to go for a very long time. Do you think it is fear that stops people from becoming who they're supposed to be, or judgment? Like, what, how do you navigate that?
I think it's a multitude of things. I think there's so many things in our like conscious brains, like the fear of judgment, because, you know, we're tribal people and we like to be part of a pack. And the idea of being ostracized back in the day would have meant certain death from like predators or whatever. So we don't want to be removed from the tribe. So we don't want to do something that's outside the comfort zone. But then there's also, you know, societal issues, like, you know, people should grow up, get married and have children. Well, what if you don't want to do that and you always wanted to go and travel on your own? Or, you know, there's that. And then there's like the judge, like comparison with other people online. So you see someone, or you see someone, you know, in the street, and you're like, well, I want to be more like this or be more like that, because you think you'll be happier that way. And then there's like subconscious stuff that you start programming at such a young age that you don't even know is a program. So you're just like living off that. So my one was, you know, I opened this birthday card and I said, oh, I'm your brother. And in the room, no one says anything. And that makes sense to an adult, because, you know, a kid can say anything, like, oh, I'm a penguin or I'm a lion. So you don't really question it. But to the child who is only five, as soon as they say, I'm a brother, and then no one responds, what I internalized in that moment was, it's not safe for me to be who I am. And that was the program that was running, you know, underneath. So I just told myself, well, it's not safe for me to be who I am. And I think we are often all running on these programs that we haven't actually put into ourselves. You know, we've just sort of made this way. Or like, you know, the old age old sort of like artists, you know, you won't make money being an artist. It's something we get told all the time. Or like, some people won't ever get rich because they believe that rich people are greedy, or when, you know, if they, like, they heard their parents saying stuff like, oh, money's the root of all evil. So if that's your program that you're running on, you won't become rich because you believe that money's the root of all evil. So I think there's lots of reasons why we're not, but fear is definitely one of the biggest ones, I think.
That was brilliant. Like, I'm literally, like, hanging on every word that you're saying.
Oh, mate.
You are absolutely spot. Like, it's Monday morning. I'm like, oh, yeah. God, this is gold.
I don't know, because I had a fair few beers last night, so maybe it's just rolling off the back of that. Yeah.
Very nice. One of those, like, 5 o'clock in the morning chats around the table.
Yeah. I think we were sort of talking about it yesterday, so it's kind of, like, spiraled off that a bit, but, yeah.
But it's, you're so right, though, and you can live in fear, or for, I think it's a similar thing again to yourself. Like, sorry, I'm not, like, comparing yourself, but it's just really highlighting the fact that I know I'm on the right path because it's other people are going through it. And it was that, almost like the fear of not doing it was really outweighing the fear of just staying the same. And I think anyone who's listening to this, like, I encourage anyone, like, whether it's a passion project, whether it's, you know, just a change, whether you want to change your job, change relationship, like, we're here for a very limited time and you deserve to be living this with a smile on your face. So please, like, make the change, like, do it, because, you know, you don't want to get to that age when you're in the pub, like, at 70, 80, like, wishing that you did something, regret it.
Yeah.
Do something that you're going to regret rather than what you're not going to.
Absolutely. I think that's such a big... the big thing for people, because there's not really any wrong decisions. You sort of make a decision and then you make a new one and then you make a new one, and if you do something and it doesn't work out, you probably learn a lot of things in that process anyway. And, you know, you and I have had that similar story where we got to a point where we couldn't go any further and we had to make changes. So there's also beauty in, like, going to the dark places, as, like, it obviously feels awful at the time, but until you get there, until you have the contrast, you don't know what it is that you want until you can't live what you have anymore. So I think I just like you say, we get a limited time here, and unfortunately for some people it becomes even more limited, and you just don't know when's your time. And not to be morbid about it, but you just need to make the most of it, because we get one little go on this earth.
Yeah, exactly. Life is no Nintendo game. Going to Eminem and Rihanna. Exactly. Yeah.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
I'd quite like to talk about coping mechanisms. Obviously, you're a musician, like, you're insanely talented. Like,
oh, thanks, man.
Across all angles when it comes to music. Music is my biggest coping mechanism. When things get a little bit manic, my headphones are in, I'm escaping. When things get a little bit manic for you, obviously, I imagine music obviously is a big outlet for you. Is there any other coping mechanisms that you lean on to help get you through?
Music is a way that I use to be cathartic. So if I actually, and it doesn't seem like this, but I do actually struggle to be vulnerable. I have struggled to be vulnerable in the past, where I like to share my feelings and emotion, and I'm only getting better at it now. So I used to have this thing where I would feel a sensation inside me, like I've got the feeling and the emotion, but I can't say to people. So what I would do is just pick up an instrument, and that would be how it actually finally releases. So it's kind of like, that would be a coping mechanism for me releasing emotion and stuff. But if I'm feeling quite chaotic or quite like fast in the brain, or I'm feeling very overwhelmed, music isn't always the first thing I go to because it sends me into like overdrive and how to make and create. So I think for me, actually, like nature and being outside, I've got like a little bike that I bop around on sometimes. Just being out in fresh air is a way, like, it's like a coping mechanism that I'll use just to be like, sometimes you need to just zoom out of the thing that you were so hyper focused on and go to the top of a hill and just look and be like, oh, there's a tree. The tree's not worried about me and this email that is, you know what I mean? Like, you just zoom out and you go, it's actually all right. That's probably one of my coping mechanisms.
It's like that, it's taking a step back sometimes, isn't it? It's like the best thing that you can actually do. So if you're too in it, like, you are just kind of like wading through the mud. So sometimes taking your step back. You said something interesting there, which I don't think in the 4 years that I've been doing this that I've actually realized, is that obviously when music and stuff like is your, like, your job and like your work, like, it's, you know, like, you throw yourself into it. I've been having these conversations. I'm thinking like, oh, you know, everyone's like a musician who comes on the show, when things get a bit chaotic, they'll go into the music. And I'm just like, well, if things were get a little bit chaotic, you wouldn't go to work. So I don't know, it just clicked in my head that, like, music, just because you're a musician, music isn't always the coping mechanism.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's specifically the chaos thing. If I'm feeling overwhelmed, music probably won't help me out because I've got quite an erratic brain anyway. So then that would just add another layer. But music, for all the other things, like if I was going for a breakup or if I was having a great day, it kind of heightens the emotion, doesn't it? So if I'm going for a breakup, like putting on Adele, is there anything better for, like,
you speak my language now.
It's good. So I do use it for other emotional releases or for other coping mechanisms. But yeah, if it's chaos, there's nothing going in my ears.
Yeah. But speaking of music, I really want to talk to you about your latest single, because I was really struggling like to articulate this, but it's beautiful. Like, what you have created is just a stunning piece of work. And I think it's so empowering to anyone who might be on the start of their journey, or even in the middle of their journey, or even like so comfortable, like, or even someone who's not kind of going through that transition like at all. It's just that real kind of nice reminder, like, to look back, that reflectiveness. How did the recording process look for that? Was that an easy thing to do? Because I imagine it's quite an emotional roller coaster.
Well, so the track you're referencing is Off My Brain.
I thought I would just let your
listeners know if they want to go check it out. It's a song called Off My Brain, and its original release happened in 2019. And at that point in time, I hadn't transitioned, and I released it under my old name, Lots Holloway, and it was a sad song about a breakup that I'd just been through. And then, you know, cut to 2024, when I've transitioned now and my voice has changed, I decided that I would remake a new version of that song, but using half of Lotz's vocals and then half of my vocals. So it sounds like a male and a female duet, and there's harmonies and backing vocals. And it was throughout my transition, I was recording my voice at different stages. So in the background, there's a choir and there's like soprano, alto, tenor and bass parts, but they're all me. So it is like a really... it's quite a unique project to listen to, because it is all one person, but it sounds very much like two different people. And initially I was kind of nervous about doing it, because I've never heard anything quite like it, and I didn't really know what the reaction would be like. But I just felt like I couldn't not be put on this earth and be sort of like put in the music world and obviously have some kind of like affinity to it, and then go through this transition, which I also feel like was a purpose in my life, and then not alchemize the two things together. And I was like, I have all this content and this old vocals, and I have, because I've been making music for such a long time, I have all this wealth of stuff, then to not try and make new art was like such a waste. So I was like, I'm gonna do it, even if it's scary or painful. And it has actually turned out to be something really quite beautiful. And now it's actually helping me almost like heal more, because the more I embrace my old self, I can see other people go, wow. And it doesn't even have to be a trans thing. Like someone who's 40 go, wow, I wish I could go back and talk to my 30-year-old self and say something, you know? So to be able to do that, I feel like I'm healing myself and also helping, you know, stretch to other people. And I think it's, I just think it's, we all need a bit more of that.
Honestly, that my face is aching from like smiling from everything that you've just said.
We are both smiling a lot.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying this chat.
It's great. Honestly, if I do say so myself, I'm really enjoying it. I knew it would be good, but like, honestly, you're phenomenal. Like genuinely, like there is so much like knowledge and empathy and just passion with you. Going back to the song, like it's beautiful. And it's one of those questions, isn't it, that gets asked a lot, whether it's in like business or in life, like in general. It's like, oh, if you could go back and ask yourself like a question, or if you could go back and give yourself some advice. And this is the first time that I've ever heard it being done from a music point of view. Because music to me seems to be able to say the things that I can't. So to hear this kind of like body of art done in a way that is just genuinely like, I don't have any other word from it other than it is just beautiful. Oh, like from start to finish, it's just, it's one of those songs that just takes you completely away for like 3-4 minutes and you're just gone. You're in someone else's world. But like the lyrics are then like kind of questioning like your own kind of life. It's great.
It is quite funny because, I mean, I don't know, like, I'm quite a spiritual person, but not really religious. And I don't know if there's, you know, someone or something up there that has sort of orchestrated us to live these lives that we're meant to be living in this way. But a lot of my life seems, what I'm doing at the time, I'm always like, why is this happening to me? Or why has that happened? And then it's only like 7 years later, 8 years later, I look at that thing that happened. I'm like, that needed to happen so that this thing could then be possible. So for example, like this was a breakup song, and that was really painful. It was my first ever big breakup. I've been with this girl for like 7 or 8 years, and we got together, we were teenagers, and then, you know, it was my first heartbreak. And the song is sort of like, I can't get this person off my brain. And then you're sort of seeing them everywhere, and it's that pain and anguish of not being able to escape your own mind. But then in the re-recording of it, when I'm singing it to my old self and there's my two voices on there, it becomes this new narrative, and it almost sounds like Lots is saying to Dylan, like, I can't get the idea of being you off my brain and like becoming the new version of me. And it just has this whole meta new like theme to it. And it's almost like, wow, was this preordained? Am I being punked? Like, is Ashton Kutcher going to jump out in a minute and I'm being punked? Yeah, but I don't know. It's cool. And I don't know if you've seen this, but we actually recreated the old music video as well. So there was a music video in 2019.
Yeah.
And I went out in New Cross Gate, and it was this thing of me having this heartbreak, and there's this, a girl in it, one of my friends now. And I said to her, look, we're going to re-release this song. I would love to go back to the same street, the same bars, the same place, and remake the same music video. But obviously I'll look different. So we have done that, and we've cut them together. So it now has this new music video where Dylan is like all the way through it, then flashing back to the Lots thing. And you can see that they're the same person, but they're not. And it's quite mad to make stuff like this.
You must feel proud.
I am starting to feel proud.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How does that look then? Like, are you, obviously I don't want to kind of like tell me about your therapy sessions, but like, how are you navigating that? Because I think it's quite if you're like obviously in a position, like you're creating these like bodies of work, whether it's music, whether it's the videos. And obviously some people are only really, they don't have the visual representation to look back on. Obviously, whereas you've got obviously these bodies of work that you created, obviously when you were Lots.
Yeah.
Is it, I don't know, I don't even know the question that I'm trying to ask or like to articulate, but it's just, I imagine it's a lot more powerful and heightened being able to visualize it and see it there on a screen.
Yeah, it was really hard at the beginning, at the very beginning. And I think it was the most hard at the beginning, because if you think about it like a timeline, like I was lots. And then at some point I became, you know, more Dylan, that butterfly effect thing. But it was in that where I started to try and create these sort of back to back or the duets or the side to side videos where I'm harmonizing with myself. And because there wasn't a lot of time in between Dylan and Lots, it was more painful because I could still feel the residual pain of Lots inside, like how I was feeling. Whereas now, because I've also done it a lot and I've made a bunch of things, every time I do it, I become more like Dylan and more empowered and more proud. And now there's a lot more distance. You know, 2000 and 20 is when I came out, and in 2021 I started hormones. So it's now been like 3.5 years. So because of that time distance, I'm able to like reflect in a much healthier way and not be so. And I mean, I'm talking about it as if I was always planning to be this bold about it. And like, let's be honest with your listeners. I really didn't want to move on and think about lots anymore. The original thing I wanted to do was transition, be Dylan. I wanted everyone to forget about lots. I was actually going to take down all of my music. I was going to take away all the videos. And I just wanted to, I wanted no one to know I was trans. And that was originally how I felt. So I feel like I need to make that point for anyone out there listening to know that it like I was in a painful place, and it's okay if you are, but it's also important to note that it was in the transition and becoming more like Dylan that I was then able to say, oh my God, why are you going to shut out Lots? Because Lots is that really cool, resilient, strong person that brought you through all the pain and trauma to bring you to be Dylan. So you can't just ride, you can't just be out here claiming all this, you know, like, I don't know, achievement. You've done this thing, Dylan. You're the best. Actually, Lots was the person who made me Dylan. So they should be championed, you know?
Oh, that generally made me feel a little bit emotional. That did. Because it is true.
I'm getting a bit heated.
Yeah, I was going to say. I felt it. But no, like, you're so right. And I know it's obviously it's not the same, but like, we're so easy sometimes to completely disregard the journey. Mm. I'm like, well, I'm at this point now. That's it. And it's just like, you can't. You know, it is okay to look back. It is okay to feel those like old emotions and look back and be like, well, this is where it has led me to. Like you said it, like the perfect example is the butterfly effect. If those things like hadn't have happened, if like, you know, I hadn't picked up the guitar or hadn't like, you know, chasing that dream of like being a musician, a singer, Dylan might not be like the artist you are now. So I think it's a beautiful thing that you're doing. And I think it's so, again, it's encouraging other people to realise that it's okay to embrace the past.
Yeah.
You know, it's okay to learn. It's okay to grow. We're supposed to change regardless of, you know, what direction you're going in. And it's just a really kind of like, it's just a beautiful way because obviously you add harmonies and choirs and guitars to it.
It's also a fun time to listen to, I think it's counterintuitive, isn't it? We often think if I can just push out the past, I'll be more free to go and be who I want to be. But actually, you will become more free when you embrace that whole thing, because nothing then is weighing you down. Nothing is in your back pocket or in the back of your mind. You're like, no, I was this person. I am an alcoholic, or I did cheat on my partner, or I did do this thing. And you say those things and you embrace who they are, but I'm moving forward. And I just think you're more free in the mind when you're not carrying the weight of things you're trying to hide or pretend that you weren't or aren't.
Yeah.
So yeah, I just think there's that's the way.
I think there's a lot of power in it. There is a lot of power in it. And it's only recently that I've experienced that. So I'm going to kind of tell you something that I'm going to turn it into a question because that's what I do. That's what I'm here for. but there is a lot of power in saying it out loud. I recently did an episode where for the first time I proudly said that I was like bisexual out loud. It was the first time I'd ever said it. And it just happened. It wasn't like pre-planned. It just came out in a conversation. I was like, oh, that just happened. And I felt immediately like a weight had been lifted. When the time came to like telling like your friends and family, or even like saying it out loud to yourself, like, can you remember how you were feeling when you finally kind of like embraced you?
Do you know what? There is actually a specific moment that popped into my mind when you said it then. And also, that's really great for you, by the way. I'm really proud of you just being who you are, especially out on your podcast or whatever. I had been sort of Googling and researching, you know, I'd met this trans guy at London Pride and I was like, your life is the life that I want. Like, and that was when I started to see, okay, this is what I want. But I still hadn't said to anyone or myself, like, this is who I am. And then I was telling this girl that I was dating at the time, so, you know, I'm born like this, but this is how I feel. And I kind of feel like I, and it was, I couldn't struggle to say it. And she was like, you're a trans guy. And that feeling rushed over me because she sort of like filled in the blank that I was struggling to get to, but she said it in such an embracing way, like, well, you're a trans guy and that's amazing, that's who you are. And it was so nice to have had that experience, and I will be forever grateful for her for helping me break that barrier.
I've got three final questions for you.
Okay.
And I love this because this is like you're a musician, but there's no beef with these. If there was a song that, I mean, to be fair, I'm probably saying this to the wrong person considering like the music that you're creating at the moment. Yeah. But is there a song or even an artist who that's the end credits to my film?
Do you know what? I can't think of one. I actually can't think of one that sort of can encapsulate the whole thing. There are artists that are kind of the backdrop to my life, but I don't think there's one song that I would say that would be my final statement. It probably would have to be one of mine, to be honest.
No, to be fair, and I actually respect that. Like, if you actually said something different, I'd be like,
yeah.
It's your film, it's your life, it has to be your song.
Well, it's funny you ask that question because I have been building, well, like a documentary, I suppose. I started filming. I haven't told anyone this, so this is like
this is exclusive. It's
fresh scoop. We got it. I started filming stuff at the very early start of my transition because I wanted to know how my voice was going to change, and I was scared about it changing, and there was not a lot of resources for like musicians, like female to male musicians that are changing their voice and how it happens. So I was going to make like a little 10-minute YouTube documentary just to like let other people have. But in the filming of everything I was doing and then all the things that unfolded subsequently in my life just from being more authentic, like, you know, winning the BBC show and then going to LA to work with Jason Derulo, like all these things, I was like filming them and I was like, this documentary that started out as a little 10-minute thing is now escalating into a really big story. And there was one song that I'd written at the beginning of my transition, and I played it at London Pride last year, and it's called Tomorrow's Too Late. And the lyric is kind of like, tomorrow's too late, you need someone to love you now. And it was a song to myself about like, whatever you're going through, you need to love yourself now. And whatever happens, I'll be there when you need me, turn around. And it's just like self-acceptance, self-love. And I think if I had a film and it was about me, I'd probably close it with that.
That is Goosebumps Don't Lie.
The goosebumps don't lie, guys. They you heard it lie. Here first.
Wow. Okay. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing this because I find you as a person so fascinating and like heartwarming. I don't know. Like, I feel like I've known you forever.
Yeah, I feel like we've just had this is like a casual chat that we've like we always do this on a Monday.
Could be a thing.
Could be a thing.
Dylan and the waffle.
Dylan and the waffle.
That doesn't sound cool, to be fair. On the flip side of that, is there a song or an artist, you said that there have been like a few that have been the backdrop, that you kind of lean on when you want the emotion to come out?
Yeah. There are certain songs and stuff. I think Taylor Swift is really good at this. I think I really think she's a fantastic writer, and the way she uses lyrics and music simultaneously to create an emotion for you, and then you're allowed to just spill into her music, I think is really good. And yeah, I have like an epic sad song that I'd always go to if I ever need something really sad. I probably just listen to like piano music more than like an artist. Yeah. Like something that like, or strings, man, like the cello. Yeah. I'm pretty sure the cello resonates with the same vibration as the heart. Like, there's something about that like it would just make you cry.
Yeah. It is very like dramatic and like an emotional, isn't it? So I get that.
Yeah,
I love that. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I'm going around the houses to answer these very simple questions. Sorry.
No, it's fine. To be fair, they're big questions though, and this is why, because they're the three that I never prep any of my guests coming up, because I like to see the thought process and I like to see like what the first song is that comes to mind, because some people come on, they try and give me like a cool answer, and I'm like, I know you listen to Pitbull.
Yeah, so right.
Cut the crap. Cut the crap. Yeah. I know it gets you on the dance floor. So, and yeah, so stop it. But final question, if there is a song that you'd quite like to put in a box, wrap in chains, kick to the bottom of the ocean and never hear again, what would it be?
Oh, I must have them. Then what is that? There must be a song that will come on that I'll just turn it immediately off.
I had someone recently say that they had to turn a song off because it made them feel car sick.
Oh God, yeah, that's not good.
Yeah, that's, I've never had that before.
No, I mean, I really struggle with like heavy metal, like heavy heavy stuff. I also struggle with some. I'm gonna be careful about this as well, but I also struggle with like some music that is particularly like berating or degrading to women, like some rap stuff. That's just like, I'm like, why another song again? Just use the same. I don't know. It just, that kind of thing winds me up.
Yeah.
I'm like, and I would put that in chains and throw it to the bottom of the ocean. So like, no, we don't need that. Any more of that. Thanks. You know?
Do you know what? I respect that more. You're the first person who's actually given me like a real kind of like strong, like meaningful answer. Other people are like Baby Shark or the Macarena.
Oh, so I retract my answer. Baby Shark and the Macarena.
No, you've said it now.
I've said it now. No, I mean, yeah.
It just made me laugh because some of the people who come on and say like, oh, this song, and then it's like, it gets to the end of the year and it's in my Spotify Wrapped. You're like, oh. Maybe I'm part of the problem.
Yeah. Yeah, no, there's, yeah, it's, I think it's that. It's that.
Well, I knew this was going to be a good conversation, but my face is aching, like I've learned something. And I'm generally like really excited to see where this year takes you, because whether it's the documentary, whether it's the music, like there is still so much to be said from you. And I'm so excited to be part, like a very small part of that journey. So I can't thank you enough for joining me for a waffle.
Oh, I've loved the waffle. Thanks, T. Like I've really had a great time. And if you ever want to chat again, just hit me up and we'll waffle.
We're doing it face to face next time.
Yes,
we should have been doing this one face to face. Like, it'll save us faffing around with all this technology crap.
We'll make it happen. And then we can go for an actual waffle afterwards. We can have a physical waffle with some syrup.
Do you know, so many people promise me waffles and they never deliver.
I will deliver. Mark my words, people. I will deliver a waffle.
I could just buy them myself. It's my show.
But they'll taste better opposite me. That's what I'm thinking. You know?
There we go. There we go. That's what I'm hoping for. That's what I'm hoping for. You've been listening to the Waffle Shop podcast with me, Taylor James. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and even leave a review. It means the world to me. See you soon.